A very good morning to you all, and welcome to the last of our 12 days Lenten reflections towards Easter. Today is Saturday, 11th April 2020. Let us worship God with the hymn "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me."
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flow be a sinner double cure. Save me from
Listen for the word of God as it is written in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verse 50 to 56. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. It is over now. Jesus has breathed his last. His friends and disciples walk quickly to see to an honorable burial before nightfall and the beginning of the Sabbath that begins Friday night at sundown. But our attention this morning, I want us to focus or to draw attention to a very special man, Joseph. He was a counselor and he was a good man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, but he did not agree to their evil plots against Jesus. He simply went about making his own secret plans. It seems as if he could not stop their wickedness towards Jesus. It would end in death, but he knew that Caiaphas and his crowd could desecrate the body of Jesus. He could even visualize them dumping the body in a common grave as was the custom, or denying it any burial at all. But maybe he could put a stop to all that if he acted swiftly and secretly. There are two things I want us to consider briefly this morning. The first is that he provided a tomb for the burial of Jesus. What a wonderful idea. The moment he heard Jesus was dead, Joseph acted quickly. Luke says he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. His credentials are given in the text to show how well placed he was to achieve the purpose of giving Jesus a decent burial. Joseph of Arimathea was an aristocrat and a gentleman. Moreover, he was rich and a member of the Sanhedrin. For those reasons, Pilate had no hesitation in granting Joseph's request. So Pilate gave orders for Joseph to have the body, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre in which no man had ever been laid. So Joseph acted swiftly to give Jesus a decent burial. But what was the contribution of Joseph to the debate about Jesus at the Sanhedrin? Joseph's seeming silence in the courtroom, despite his influence, seemed to be problematic. He was the man who gave Jesus a tomb and saved our Lord from that disgrace of a burial in a common grave or other desecration. We learn that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. We are told that he did not agree with the verdict and the sentence of that court to crucify Jesus, but there is no mention whether or not he raised his voice in disagreement at all. There are two things to conjecture here. Maybe he kept silent. Maybe he absented himself when he saw that he was powerless to stop a course of action with which he disagreed. But come to think of it, what a difference it would have made if he had spoken, if he could get Pilate to grant his request like that for taking away the body of Jesus. Who knows what a word from him at the Sanhedrin could change? How it would have lifted up the heart of Jesus if in that grim assembly of bleak hatred, even one lone voice had spoken for him. But Joseph waited until Jesus was dead, and then he gave him a tomb. It is one of the tragedies of life that we place on people's graves the flowers we might have given them when they were alive. We keep for their obituary notices and for the tributes paid to them at memorial services and in committee minutes the praise and thanks we should have given them when they lived. Often, we are haunted because we never spoke. I am always fascinated by the way people treat corpses in my own home context when, in fact, they had no respect for the people in their lifetime. Many people don't assist financially for treatment or even provide food to nourish sick souls. Some don't even care to visit sick relatives when they can. Interestingly, many start saving money when they anticipate the death of their relatives so that they can organize what we commonly call a befitting burial. The Nigerian movie Died Wretched, starring Yukeria Anubi and Tony Omes, is about a young man who lived lavishly in the cities because of his stupendous wealth. However, his uncle, who had introduced and given him the capital for business, had become unsuccessful and sought help from his nephew to no avail. Without enough money to eat and stay healthy, the man eventually died of poverty and disease. The young millionaire organized a prestigious funeral for his late uncle, featuring a multi-million casket for a man who lived in abject poverty and died wretched for lack of help. The actions of the rich young man in the movie qualify for the most dreadful depravity of the human mind and the consequences of misdirected priorities that man unashamedly manifests towards his or her own family or friends. Now let me ask you, dear friend, do you hold a position of influence like Joseph of Arimathea? Maybe you have got the right connections, the cash, you know the doors to knock for other people to have a better life or to get treatment for their ailment or even to assist them in getting one. If you have family members, friends, or any other persons you know might need help, please, it is better to help when they are alive. Do something helpful for those who are alive. Don't wait till the one is in trouble or dead before you come in. And remember, a word to the living is worth a cataract of tributes to the dead. Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus Christ, for the work of our salvation, you humbled yourself to die for us and also to be buried. We magnify you, the giver of life, and revere your passion and your burial. When they had fulfilled all that was written of you, they took you down from the cross and laid you in a grave. But your body rested in hope, for your Father did not leave you in hell, neither did he allow his Holy One to see corruption. O you holy and spotless Lamb, we unite with all the heavenly host in ascribing to you power and riches, and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We bless you for all the burdens you have borne, for all the tears you have wept, for all the pains you have suffered, for every word of comfort you have spoken on the cross, for every conflict with the powers of darkness, and for your eternal victory over the terrors of death and the pains of hell. And now, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. You will show us the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Therefore, we magnify you, O Word of Life, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.